Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:53 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is August 4th, and I thought we'd kick off with gold. It's up $28, almost 29. Feel rather silly having sold out on the break down in early July, and then the subsequent I should have bought it back when I saw the upward dynamic and upside key reversal in the middle of July. But we're back at the first area of potential resistance, so I'll be willing to buy it on a dip. I might buy it if we break out as well. I'm certainly not going to be out of the market interminably, and I had my bids below the market, perhaps a little bit too greedy. Came within just a few dollars of one of them being triggered in the middle of July, and I wasn't willing to preempt it at the time. But let's just think about what's going on right now. It's puzzled a lot of people that gold hasn't been performing over the last year despite inflation. But I think this, more than anything, helps to illustrate the fact that gold isn't exactly an inflation hedge. It's more about expectations for future inflation and what the central bank response to it will be. So then, if we try to frame what's been going on in gold over the last couple of years in those terms, I think we've come up with a better answer. So the first thing is that we've had this rebound over the course of the last 2 weeks, and we're at the first area of potential resistance. It's the lower side of the overhead trading range. It's coming back into the psychological $1,800 level, and the big question is whether it is going to be able to push back up into that overhead trading range and subsequently break the sequence of lower rally highs that's been in evidence since the peak in March. Well, the betting odds are that we're probably not going to be able to get all that done without at least some pause and consolidation. Now, the fact that gold has been going sideways for a couple of years already, well, then some people are going to be wondering whether that was a top formation. And others will be thinking, well, it's been going on for sufficiently long that it is questioning the big ranging consolidation prior to a breakout hypothesis. And that's certainly true. It's not at all unusual for gold to go sideways for 18 months or longer at a time, and we're already 2 years into this consolidation. So then what would be the catalyst for gold to break on the upside? Well, the first would be that central banks cannot, in fact, follow through on their willingness to raise interest rates as high as is necessary to combat inflation. Gold tends to do best as a monetary instrument when the purchasing power of the other monetary instruments that it competes with goes down. And the dollar has been really very strong. So gold has been holding its own against an environment where the dollar has rallied for a year. And now the dollar is back at the first area of potential support, at the upper side of the underlying short-term range around the 105 area, but it was in negative territory in here today. So we're at another rather interesting juncture here. We've also had a significant contraction in bond yields, particularly at the longer end of the curve. So investors are willing to buy bonds. They're not quite as willing to hold cash. They're certainly supporting gold, and they're supporting other limited supply asset classes like luxury goods, for example. And we've had a big pop on the upside for some of those companies like Richemont and LVMH and Hermès. So they Hermès in particular came down to test the region of the 1,000-day moving average and has subsequently rebounded and broken the sequence of lower rally highs. So that's a really quite emphatic rebound, and it's certainly enough to question the bear market hypothesis. So it has ample room in which to consolidate now and still be on a recovery trajectory. When we then let's just frame that in terms of the contraction in government bond yields that we've seen over the course of the last couple of months. So the yield peaked at 3.5% in June. It's back to 2.5%. We've had a pronounced contraction in European government bond yields as well. So the UK gilt is back in the region of the 200-day moving average, and so are German bunds. Investors are starting to price in the potential that we are looking at a growth shock, and that central banks are not going to be raising rates indefinitely. That by the time we get around to this time next year, we might already be well past the peak of this interest rate cycle. So maybe bond yields have peaked already, pricing it in. And if that's the case, then we're more likely than not to be in a at or at least at the dawn of a period of financial repression. The one thing that has not had a lot of commentary over the course of the last few months is the size of the debt loads, but the quantity of debt is enormous, and then debt and demographics can't be escaped. So what's also interesting right now is that oil prices are starting to come back down. So Brent crude was down by nearly $3 today, and it was at a new reaction low. And West Texas Intermediate is also breaking on the downside, and there's still quite an arbitrage between the two commodities. So there's clearly potential here that we're going to see lower oil prices. Now, we've already seen what this kind of top formation can look like in copper, and we saw a very accelerated decline. And subsequently, prices have rebounded to test the 350 area and the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And this is still a little consolidation here in this area. But the bigger picture is that the pressure from commodity price inflation has moderated and done so really rather significantly. So the LME Metals Index is back in the region of the 1,000-day moving average, but it's significantly below where it was earlier on this year. We've also seen some steep declines in the soft commodities. So cotton, for example, has not quite halved, but certainly very close to it, and is now steadying in the region of the upper side of this very long-term base formation. But the size of the pullback suggests that we could be in for a lengthy period of consolidation. So if commodity price inflation is moderating without a significant increase in supply, then it's the reason has to be about demand. And that's going to primarily focus on China. So the CSI 300 was in positive territory in here today. But the much bigger picture is that China is dealing with a property slowdown, potentially the end of the big bull market in property. And in order to rescue this big bull market, they're going to have to print significant quantities of cash. And there can't be any more room, there isn't really any more room for beating around the bush and talking about targeted measures. If they want to rescue the property market, then they're going to have to make an enormous amount of liquidity available. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of appetite for that. China is attempting to avoid a crash. But at the same time, they also want to avoid further inflating the bubble. So that suggests that we're going to be in a grinding bear market for property. And it's the primary source of wealth creation within the economy. So, and certainly for wealth storage. So this is obviously problematic. And the renminbi was a little steadier in here today, and it continues to hold here around the 6.8 level. But I think the potential is that we're going to get a weaker currency overall. If property development in China moderates, then that's lower economic growth overall, less demand for things like oil and copper and iron ore and steel. And of course, China is the major refiner and manufacturer of those commodities, most particularly cement. So these are going to be really significant impacts on the global economy. But it could potentially be a real source of enthusiasm for global investors, because the one thing that everyone has been worried about is inflation. And if Chinese demand moderates, then that's going to be a significant that's going to have a significant impacting on commodity prices. Now, natural gas is the wild card in all of that because of the war in Ukraine. So the price was in negative territory today, and it gave up initially a lot of the advance we saw yesterday, but then trimmed the decline towards the end of the day. And UK natural gas prices are still really firm and look more likely than not to continue to push on the upside. So there are idiosyncratic events happening in Europe with regard to energy outside of anything that a Chinese slowdown can impact. So it's in Europe where there is the biggest risk of an energy shock, and that's going to have inflationary pressures. Now, when we think about the fact that the Bank of England raised rates by 50 basis points in here today, I think Andrew Bailey has been doing a really good job of trying to talk the market down. Everyone's aware of the fact that the Bank of England is inhibited from raising rates in an aggressive manner. So the central bank is instead forced to be very overt and not to really retreat from the effort to just say that there's not going to be a recession. The Federal Reserve has been very clear in saying, well, we don't believe there's a recession. Whereas the Bank of England is saying there's definitely going to be a recession, and the risk is it's going to be a deep one. So what they're trying to do is to frighten the population into curtailing demand. So bond yields have been coming down because investors are willing to believe that there will be a recession, and that the likelihood is that inflation will fall when that occurs. Of course, energy prices are a really significant challenge. Now, this is rather interesting for the outlook for the currency. So we've had a reasonable rebound, and we're at the lower side of the range, and that range has been forming for nearly 6 years. And every time it's bounced from the lower side, it's gone back up towards the upper side, around 140. So that sounds like a bit of an ask right now in terms of the outlook for the pound. But then the question is, how long will the dollar's strength persist? And how close is the Fed to its interest rate peak? One of the reasons why gold is rallying is because investors are willing to bet that we're a lot closer to the peak of the interest rate cycle than central banks are talking about. So we've had a rebound in stocks, and it's not like valuations have really fallen a lot, but the Nasdaq is now back in the region of the 200-day moving average. So this is a meaningful potential area of resistance. If it can push up and through this level, then that's going to, I think, really encourage a good deal of the cash in off the sidelines. And that would have to assume that the Federal Reserve is close to the end of the interest rate hiking cycle. Now, when we look at the total assets of central banks, the Bank of England is trying, or it's raising rates and it's talking about reducing the size of the balance sheet. And the Federal Reserve is due to accelerate the pace of that balance sheet contraction next month, up to 95 billion a month. So that's a pretty accelerated pace of balance sheet runoff. Now, when we look at the total assets of central banks, and this chart does take time to load, it's been heavily impacted by the weakness of the dollar. So even though central bank balance sheets haven't really gone anywhere, it's contracted a lot by over 3 trillion because of the strength of the dollar. So the dollar's rally has been a significant contractionary effect on the wider market. What we are, though, seeing is that as the total assets of central banks started to turn around in the middle of July, we've seen that a significant number of emerging markets have also begun to find support. So Vietnam is starting to bounce from the region of the 1,000-day moving average and the upper side of, or at least the region of the peaks from back in 2018. And the Nifty index in India has also been rebounding. So this is certainly some evidence of interest coming back into the emerging market basket. And Brazil is also now rebounding. And that is despite the fact that oil and copper prices have been moderating. But some of the reason for that is perhaps that the Brazilian Central Bank is coming close to the end of its hiking cycle, and they've been more aggressive than just about everyone else in raising interest rates. So that higher yield and higher short-term payout is certainly going to attract investor interest. And so we're potentially now seeing some interest coming back into emerging markets. And there's also the potential that we're going to see some stimulative activity passed by the US government for their reducing inflation bill. And that's certainly helped to stoke some interest in the solar sector. So the TAN ETF rebounded off its intra-week lows and was up again in here today. So this is looking in like increasingly more positive action. When we then think about where we are in this cycle, well, I'm still not willing to give up on the belief that we haven't really seen the sell-off associated with this recession yet, and that it's quite normal in a bear market to see some really powerful counter trend rallies. And I think that that's basically what we're seeing right now. And the buy the dip strategy has really helped people make a lot of money over the last 10 years. So people are still buying the dip. And it's when the buy the dip strategy stops working, well, that's when you really have a bear market. And I do think, though, that we're going to have a growth shock and that financial conditions continue to tighten and that inverted yield curves are the most reliable lead indicator for recessions. So there's certainly some dip buying going on. There's certainly some willingness to try and pick up bargains because things have pulled back so aggressively. And certainly animal spirits have started to come back in. I mean, even GameStop is back above its 200-day moving average now. Now, this is a company that was able to raise a lot of money in 2021 and has absolutely no plan how to spend it. And it's a company with an impaired business model. So, obviously, these are significant questions. How can you have companies that don't have business models doing so well when you have inverted yield curves and central banks that are talking about continuing to raise interest rates? Well, it's quite simple that there was a lot of money on the sidelines, a lot of people wondering about what they can do about it, and a lot of oversold conditions. So we're seeing a lot of oversold conditions being unwound. But as long as central banks are raising interest rates, then this is unlikely to be a rally that has legs and that we will see significant breakouts to new all-time highs by the major indices. That's pointing towards a lengthier period of consolidation at a minimum. So it also suggests that the higher these prices go, and let's just think about Apple, and it's a little softer in here today, but it's almost back in the region of the peak from back in January through April. Is it going to be able to sustain a breakout to new all-time highs in an environment where liquidity conditions are tightening and consumer demand is moderating? So I think this is certainly worth considering that Walmart was down in really quite a dynamic manner in here today. And this looks like a completed type 3 top formation and a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and now a period of distribution below that overhead peak. So this is a major consumer company, and the fact, and I think it has the highest turnover of any company in the world. And the fact that it's not making money when they concentrate on selling products at the lowest possible price, then that's not especially good news. And it does suggest that consumer demand is moderating. So consumers being completely price insensitive is certainly showing up in the retail sector. And it'll find its way into the higher priced products eventually. And I think the strength that we're seeing in luxury goods right now is very much consistent with the belief that it will be the last sector to experience weak consumer demand. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.